from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm so excited about the group that we have, the tight ends and the receivers, because it's so many different skill sets. And you hope that that versatility allows it to play a little harder on defenses to defend of, hey, this guy can run short, but he also can push vertical, and it's not only certain guys doing certain things. And so I think you guys saw a couple yesterday of just seeing Dalton do some things going vertical. We know we saw that he can do that last year. And so something that I hope for all of our guys, you know, that's a part of their repertoire.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, tight ends getting vertical. We talked about that like the first month of the season with Kincaid wanting to see more downfield targets. They started to come. Coverage training camp here from St. John Fisher University is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, what's your outlet, and by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Jeremy and Joe, good morning, and joined by Sal Mariana of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Good morning.
How you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. You've got news to share. I want to pass along a message on behalf of Howard. I'm sure about the Mets and the Yankees. He would ask me to do that. But good to see you. Good to have you here.
Howard tweeted me. I think the next morning after the 12-3 debacle. And he actually felt sorry for me. Imagine a Mets fan feeling sorry for a Yankees fan. That's the world we live in right now with those two teams. But, yeah, it was funny. I went to Citi Field with my son for the first time. I hadn't been to the ballpark. And I get down there. It was the second game in June, the monsoon game, the one that unbelievable storm. And Howard was tweeting at me or texting me, you got to do this, you got to do that. It was great. Howard's a huge Mets fan. I love him. He's great. So we have no animosity.
All right.
Howard and I.
All right,
we are good buddies.
Good.
Yes. So what did you ask me
you're here. You're back at camp again, but you've got news.
Yeah. Look, I know it's a very crowded podcast space. Everybody's got a podcast these days. But Adam Bonini and I are going to go get back into the game here. We got contacted by a company called Believe, and they're a national podcast network, and they want a Bill show. So Adam and I are going to start it. We hope to get rolling next week. So we're hoping for all you Bills fans. I know you've got plenty of options with Sal and his podcast, and all these guys have podcasts. We will give you more than 70 years of experience on the beat, and we're a little more crusty than some of the guys who do podcasts, so you'll get an honest take for sure.
You beat me to my questions, because I was going to say, the tagline has to include how many years of Bill's experience, right?
It's unbelievable. I mean, this is my 35th year full-time, and then I predate that about 7 or 8 years, even go back to college, because I worked for the AP as a stringer. So I'm over 40 years of actually you know, in the locker room doing stuff. So, and Adam did it, I think, from the late 80s he came to the Buffalo market. So, yeah, we've been around a while. He's off into semi-retirement now, but he couldn't stay away. So we're going to do this together.
Well, you've been through several different versions of the Bills, and this is one of the more fun ones, right? It's the life's better
these days. Oh, absolutely. Jeremy, are you kidding me? I mean, my first 4 years on the beat, they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, my first decade in the 90s, they only missed the playoffs twice. And then we had 17 years of an abyss, right?
Yeah.
So to have it come back around like this, obviously they haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl or won it, but this has been a fun, fun team. I mean, ever since Josh Allen, you know, 2019 really, when he really started to show what he could be, this team's been a lot of fun. And these last 4 years, I know people were aggravated that they haven't won a playoff game or a Super Bowl. They haven't even gotten there. They're frustrated by how these seasons have ended, especially the last two at home. But look, people, people tell me this all the time about the Yankees. Enjoy the season. I just can't do it. So I guess I see where Bills are coming from, Bills fans are coming from. But enjoy what you've had, because this era, hasn't quite matched the Super Bowl era. Obviously, seven Hall of Famers on that team. But this is a damn good team. They've been a good team for so long, four straight divisions. Enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, you know? There's a lesson a little bit in there that I try to think of, too, where don't just treat every game in the regular season that you're attending as, okay, well, now let's see what happens in January.
Yeah.
Like, the moment they win a game as you're walking out, like, okay, we'll see if they beat the Chiefs again. Like, that could consume you for months, and then you might leave the season feeling like is that kind of how you feel like that's been building up? Where this camp, does it feel different in that way because of their past failures in the playoffs, and maybe also more so because of the transitions, that this camp for fans feels a little different than the ones in the past couple years?
I don't know if it feels different. I think there's more trepidation in the fan base about this camp and this team this year. I mean, they moved a lot of very good players off the roster. Now, whether you agree with those decisions or not, I mean, I disagreed with the Mitch Morse, but the other ones were pretty understandable. The Diggs trade, I was fine with that. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I was fine with that move. I mean, financially it works out. You move on from a guy who I think is starting to decline.
They got great value. There's no
doubt
about that.
They got excellent value in that trade. So I was fine with most of the moves they made, but this is a different team. I mean, there's a lot of expectation on the Bills. You've got your superstar quarterback right dead smack in his prime. So, yeah, there is more pressure, I think, to win this season particularly because it's a different team. They made so many changes, so many new guys, so many young guys. I think the division's going to be better. I think the Jets are a problem. I said that last year, and then Rodgers got hurt four plays in. I think they're a problem, and Miami will be pesky.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to say it. Like, I'm thinking about this new version of the Josh Allen Bills. It's like a great band releasing a new album of a different style. Like, all right, let's see how these draft picks go. Let's see how Keon Coleman pans out, Cole Bishop, some of the free agents they brought in. Curtis Samuel could be a really – like, if Samuel hits, that's going to be an identifiable signing for years because he's so cheap. $8 million for a receiver is nothing. So they're going – they had to go in a little cheaper direction. They had to do things differently with $60 million in dead cap. So I don't necessarily look at this season as everything that they want to be, but I heard someone say they had to thread a needle to stay competitive the level that they have been while also making these changes, and that they've done a pretty good job of threading that needle, it would seem.
It feels like it to me. People, again, the big storyline has been the wide receiver room. We all know it's a brand new room. I've asked the question a couple times this week of Allen, of McDermott. I asked it of Brady. This might be the most diverse group they've ever had, right? And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he fits all these pieces together. You've added some speed with Valdez-Scantling. You know, somebody can catch the ball, which sometimes has been a problem. They haven't had that element since, what, John Brown in 2019 that can just go straight down the field. I think Shakir is going to make a step up this year. I think Samuel is a really nice player. I really do. Maybe he's not Stephon Diggs, but you know what? Stephon Diggs was a superstar for 3 years. Last year, he's coming back to the pack, right? And he's getting closer to what Curtis Samuel still might be at this point. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think they've got some nice weapons. They've just got to figure out how it's all going to fit. And I think they have a good chance to still have a very nice passing offense.
How do you feel about a tight end kind of leading the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kincaid, I asked Brady this question yesterday. That might have been the clip you just used about getting him vertical. I got frustrated last year. I don't know about you guys, but this is a guy that we saw in college could take it down the field, and all they did with him for maybe three quarters of the year was throw passes within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Get him downfield. If you're gonna run your offense through Dalton Kincaid, which they very well might, you got to get him into space and let him make some plays, because that really didn't. 73 catches was great. I think he had a 7 or 8 yard average per catch, whatever it was.
I remember seeing a Laporta highlight early and thinking, how come Kincaid's not doing
exactly
that? He can do that.
Exactly.
And I got to find ways to do this. It might have been my biggest problem with Dorsey was Kincaid just did not seem to be involved in the way that they needed to. You know, over the course of the season, Kincaid and then Shakir, too. Shakir didn't, by many accounts, have a great camp last year, and he was kind of slow to come along. And then all of a sudden, that popped, too. Whether it was earning the trust of Josh Allen, yards after catch stuff, whatever it was, it's like the light went on. We don't always use that with receivers. But for Shakir, I feel like his return here, the role he returns to, is another thing that gives Bills fans a lot of comfort, because they've got two weapons that I feel like are very reliable, and the other things we'll still find out about.
He left training camp. Now, again, Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs were here, so his role was going to be limited anyways, but he left camp as a guy, actually two camps in a row, where, can he catch the ball? He was dropping back. Guess what? He had the highest catch percentage in the NFL last year. The highest catch, I think it was 87.5%. You know, and obviously the opportunities weren't huge, but when he got the ball thrown to him, he caught the ball. So I like him. Is he going to be a dominant, 85 catch guy? No. But he's going to be part of a puzzle here with all the different skill sets they have that I think could make this offense hum.
Deeper down the board at receiver, we've talked about Coleman a little bit, Samuel. How about guys like Claypool, Justin Shorter? I mean, is there anybody on the back end that has caught your eye to this point?
Yeah, I mean, Claypool, to me, the talent is there. We all saw him play at Notre Dame. His first year and a half, really, at Pittsburgh was very good, and then he just kind of fell off the cliff. A guy that big and that physical, you've got to find a way to utilize him, right? There's a role for a guy like that. He's just got to get mentally into it, because I think he lost that a little bit playing for the Bears, and then he hardly even played for the Dolphins. I'm interested by him. Shorter, I just haven't seen. We don't know. He's a fifth-round pick. What are we really expecting? I know Shakir was, too. What are we really expecting from Justin Shorter? They've got NFL veterans at the back end of that depth chart that you've got to look at those guys first. You've got them for 1 year, basically, all those guys, right? Claypool, I think Valdez-Scantling's a one-year. Yeah. Utilize these guys in this window, and you can still stash Justin Shorter and Tyrell Shavers on your practice squad.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What do you make of Joe Brady so far? And how much do you think is worth taking from the end of last year when he's coming in on an interim basis. So I can't imagine it. Of course, I can't imagine that it's the whole offense that he would want to run, but you're in the middle of the season.
Right.
How different do you expect it, I guess, to look this year versus what we saw him calling at the end of last year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that they've changed some things in the playbook. Obviously, he wants to put his tweaks on things. But again, when you've got this quarterback, this was the money quote of the offseason, right, when he said it's Josh Allen's offense. We've all used that 25 times in our stories so far. It is Josh Allen's offense. So it isn't so much what Brady is going to want to force feed on the Bills' offense. It's going to be, Josh, what do you like to do? Well, guess what Josh likes to do? A lot of what Dable was doing and some of what Dorsey was doing. So I don't think there's going to be this huge transformation in the offense. It'll look a little bit different, and I think it'll look different because there's so many different players. But I'm not expecting all of a sudden they're going to be, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and throw short passes all day. That's not going to be it.
Sal Mariano of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. So defense, life after Hyde and Poyer. I mean, that's a big one. Yeah. You know, the changeover back there. When it comes to this secondary, are you one that has just a level of belief in McDermott? I find myself there all the time. Like, I think Sean McDermott's going to coach up a secondary. He always does. Whoever's back there, they do, by league standards, an incredible job. And now it's pretty much a brand new group. Douglas, Benford, Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards. Like, it's going to be a different look, but I just tend to lean on the idea that it's just going to be good.
Absolutely. I think you're right. You hit it right on the nail on the head. He's a great secondary coach. And let's remember, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are both, what, 32, 33 years old. They aren't the same players they were 2, 3, 4 years ago. These guys coming in are probably just as good at this point as Poyer and Hyde. They're younger. They got to learn the system, and that's going to be interesting. I think it was a good move to bring Rapp back because he's got the 1 year in the system. He was a good player for the Rams. They're not a great player, but he started in a Super Bowl. I mean, he was a good player there, so I think he'll come in and be fine. Edwards, we'll see. And then Cole Bishop is going to be groomed, you would think, as the next guy. I don't think he's ready yet. I think it's going to be Edwards and Rapp as the starters, but I think it's going to come along. The interesting job is going to be, to me, I want to see what Kyrie Elam does in this camp. Can he push Benford out of his starting job? I'm interested in looking at that, too.
It's going to be tough to do. I mean, Benford has been a really nice piece
for
them.
But he can't stay on the field. Yeah. He gets hurt a lot.
Well, that's where Elam's camp might be important, is they've had Dane Jackson really every year for, what, 3 years? They've ended up having to go to that third corner for a consistent basis. And Benford, you mentioned the injury problems. Like, right now, Elam doesn't have anybody pushing him for, like, who the third guy is.
That's right. There is no depth there after those three. I mean, I don't know about Jamarcus Ingram. We've seen him a little bit, but they might end up – that's a spot where you might see them sign a guy later in camp or the preseason if a veteran guy comes available.
Yeah.
Calling plays on the defense – you have a feeling on that?
No. Honestly, I don't even care. Yeah. I really don't care about that. I mean, I'm interested in the offensive coordinator, but the defensive it's McDermott's defense. It always – when Leslie Frazier was here, it was still McDermott's defense. He had just as much say on game day probably as Frazier. It was just Frazier in the helmet making the call. Whether it's going to be Babich or McDermott, whatever. It's McDermott's defense, and Babich has been here the whole time, so they're going to be on the same page.
You just mentioned, you know, they might add a corner somewhere. I'm surprised – I thought throughout the last month or two there would be another defensive end that came in at some point, whether that was Emmanuel Ogba, Yannick Ngakoue, just one of these guys, the hired gun defensive end. I guess they signed them earlier in the offseason with Dwayne Smoot and Casey Tuhill, but it's a position that they clearly value. They spend lots of money, big assets there, and if Vaughn is not right, then I might have concerns. I mean, Epinesa had a nice season, but I kind of want to stop there, like a nice season.
Look, Greg Rousseau is a first-round pick, and I think he's been good. I don't think he has played up to the first-round status yet. I mean, he's got 17 sacks, but I don't think he's been that guy you worry about overly on game day, and that's the kind of guy they need. That's what Von Miller used to be. Epinesa, nice, solid player. Whether he's a 2 or a 3, you know, he'll probably start this year because I don't think Von Miller should be starting. But I think that's a problem. I think their edge rush – they lost Leonard Floyd. I think their edge rush needs to be better this year.
Would it be fair to say you need Rousseau to take, like, the Oliver leap? Again, Oliver was good.
Yes.
And then they re-signed him, and he went to another level.
Rousseau is 6'5" and a tremendous athlete. He needs to be a more impactful player. I mean, he's been good against the run, which is fine. They expect that out of their edge rushers. He needs to be a guy who's in the backfield more often this year.
Is there pressure on McDermott this year at all? Like, I feel like we're in a period with him where we're just – like, it doesn't really come up despite the fact that they haven't had the playoff success, because it just feels like there's this recognition all around that, like, he's their coach, they love him, and that's just kind of it. Almost no – you know, if they won three games, maybe it would change, but almost no matter what the season results in.
There's no pressure on McDermott. He is locked and loaded for this year. I mean, look, if they somehow miss the playoffs, they go 8-9, are you going to fire a guy who's taken you to six of the last 7 years and four straight titles? No. I mean, he's good for this year. Now, next year, if they miss the playoffs this year and they stumble next year, then, yeah, I would consider it. But you said it. They love him. Mm-hmm. They love Bean and McDermott the way Ralph Wilson loved Levy and Polian back in the day. I don't see there's any way that McDermott's on the hot seat ever. Well, this year, ever.
Yeah. There's pressure applied himself, but yeah, the idea of hot seats, I've never thought that that's anything close with ownership and McDermott and how things have gone. And this is the start of another run here. Like, it's almost like, all right, your first go at this was a 5-year, 6-year window. It went really well. We'd like to have higher returns or a higher finish. Now let's see the next. I would probably bet 4 or 5 years at least, because they're going to be good on defense.
Well, that's where
Josh Allen's going to carry them to wins.
They just extended him last year for what? I think it's 4 or 5 more years. I mean, he's not going to eat. He's got a good coach in play. I always say this, too. Okay, who are you going to go get?
Right. Who's the other
person? Who's the next guy, right? I mean, we've seen all these new guys come in. Mike McDaniel, the nutty professor, right? What's he done? No division titles. Gave one away last year. Can't win in the playoffs. I mean, what are you looking for there?
Well, that's why I wanted. And this is almost kind of a different conversation, because this is not the Pegulas or pressure from above McDermott, but, and you hope this doesn't happen at all, but last year when the team got to the middle of the season and it was, you know, what were they, 6-6 at one point last year, for fans, the heat got turned up, and sure, there, of course, will always be complaints about McDermott, but it was on Dorsey, right? Like, he was the guy that was getting blamed and that was getting a lot of the criticism, at least from fans, and then even the Bills, they fired him. And I do wonder, if this year is getting rocky, where will fans turn their attention? Because I feel like it probably would go to McDermott, but I guess I don't really know. Brady's in his first year, and the receiver core is what it is. I don't know if the heat would get turned up on him. I just think it's curious, where will fans turn their attention if they're unhappy middle of the season?
Well, it's going to be McDermott, because it's always the head coach, right?
Yeah.
Fans were upset with Andy Reid before he started winning Super Bowls. I mean, it's always going to go to the head coach, undeservedly, in this case at least. So they're not going to focus on Bobby Babbage or Joe Brady, most likely. Especially Brady, like you said, in his first year.
Bean could get some of that too, but I feel like he often doesn't. And it's the job the job he's done has so much respect. I do wonder if this year's any different because of the receiver core. But it might depend on how it's looking. Which, you know, you mentioned like 8-9, they somehow missed the playoffs. Like, how likely do you think it is that there is a season like that?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that the Jets are a real threat in the division. So, I mean, the Bills could very easily be in the wild card mix this year.
Yeah.
But I don't see them. I still think they're an 11-win team. And if that's good enough, great. If it's not, that's going to be a wild card, I think.
And it won't take long for, I think, fans to, again, this season's still going to play out, but to turn the page and immediately say, well, $60 million in cap space coming off the books, the opportunity to
you have an extra second-round pick for a big straight.
I mean, they'll add even more next year than they did this past season, their offseason.
I mean, you don't want to say it's a bridge year for the Bills, because it's not a bridge year. This is still a Super Bowl window, but in some ways it kind of is.
Yeah. The Chiefs won in a bridge year.
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly.
Sometimes that happens. All right, Selma Ariana of the Democrat and Chronicle, and the new podcast with Adam Benigni as well.
We were debating last segment, what's the greatest position in Bills history? What's their greatest position ever?
The collection of talent at one spot.
Because I think we agreed that, like, tight end, like, there's the bar, like, Kincaid.
That's
to be
pretty
the,
low. That's a blow
yeah,
bar.
Like, for Kincaid to be the greatest Bills tight end ever, it might not be that hard for him. Is it running back automatically?
I was going to say I think it might be running back. You've got two Hall of Famers in O.J., and you guys didn't see OJ play, and all you know him is the murderer. But unbelievable.
And the guy in commercials.
And the guy in commercials. He was spectacular. And then Thurman was spectacular, too. And they've had some good guys. You know, I mean, Fred Jackson was a very good – I can't go through them all, but
yeah.
I think it might be running back.
He didn't like me throwing guard out into the mix for all
– I respect
I've got
it.
Joe D, right? You got Reggie McKenzie. You got Reuben Brown.
Billy Shaw's a Hall of Famer.
Billy Shaw – multiple Hall of Famers.
They've
just
got
saying.
Some Hall of Famers there.
Guard.
I went if you're going peak defensive end. They've got a lot of great defensive ends
they've
over
had,
the years.
It would have been nice if Von Miller could have been great for the Bills. That would have helped your argument.
Yep. Yeah.
But he hasn't healthy. Been. He hasn't been, but yeah, I mean, Bruce Smith's the all-time sack leader, so that's right there.
If Von doesn't tear his ACL year one, 8 games in, like the numbers he would have put up that year, is it 16, 17 sacks? He had 8 in 8 games.
He was, I don't know if he would have slowed down at his age, maybe, but it would have been a very good year.
But he had not just 8 sacks, but they were all third down game changers, strip sacks. I mean, he was doing exactly what they
signed him to do, and then the unfortunate injury.
Closing out games.
Too bad.
Yep. All right, Sal, thanks so much.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Always good to see you. Back in a moment, we've got Tyler Dunn coming up this hour as well, Sean McDermott at 9:15. We expect to hear from him and sit down with him as well. So keep it tuned. Keep it locked here on WGR from St. John Fisher University at Buffalo Bills training camp.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.